everybody. Harry Carey here. And welcome to Space the Infinite Frontier. We've got a great show lined up for you. Hey, now, Ken, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
What?
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser.
Welcome to Touchpoint, a podcast dedicated to discussions on digital marketing and digital patient engagement strategies for hospitals, health systems, and physician practices. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into a variety of topics on the digital tools, solutions, strategies, and processes that are impacting our industry today. We hope to share a lot of great information and have fun along the way. Today, I am joined by my friend and co-host, Reed Smith. Reed is a digital marketing strategist and social media enthusiast and expert, and he works with hospitals, health systems, and physicians across the country. You can find him online through his handle at Reed Smith and his website socialhealthinstitute.com. Hey, Reed.
How's it going, Chris? Always fun to be here. And as always, you can find Chris, my co-host, online at Chris Boyer on Twitter and many of the other social channels, as well as LinkedIn and otherwise. You can track him down on his website, ChristopherBoyer.com, and read more about what he's doing on a daily basis with hospitals and healthcare systems and health IT providers and everything in between. Before we jump in today, I do want to talk for just a minute about our sponsor, Transparently. Every day, millions of patients are looking online for information about their healthcare provider. Transparently's voice of the customer platform gives you, the healthcare provider and system, the tools you need to amplify the feedback your patients are already giving and gather answers to new questions you should be asking. To learn a little bit more about their platform and what it does and what it can do for you, visit transparently.com.
Yeah, we welcome them to our podcast. I think that's very important, and many organizations are looking at transparency efforts. So definitely check them out to learn more information.
Absolutely. All right, so here we are, milestone episode number 20.
Woohoo!
20 weeks we've been doing this, or have almost completed 20 weeks of doing this, I guess. And as we've talked about on a few previous episodes, today was going to be a little bit different. So we're not covering just one topic. We're covering many, and it's going to be provided to us in the way of tips that folks have submitted over the last couple of weeks. And this should be a lot of fun.
It should be. And we want to thank all of our listeners that have contributed tips. We were pleasantly surprised at how many people gave us some great, great ideas. And pretty much everybody, except for one, submitted their tips via audio. So we're going to hear their voices today, too, Reed.
That'll be cool. That'll be really, really cool. And we may do this. I don't know. Give us feedback. So, tell us what you think about this. If it's something that is interesting and you like it and you want more of it, let us know and we'll figure out, maybe how we either work some of these into each and every episode. Maybe it happens every so often. I don't know, but just look forward to your feedback. I think we've got some cool stuff in here from some cool people. So
we sure do. We sure do. So what is about to come is the top 20 digital tips as submitted by our listeners and ourselves of things that hospitals and health systems should be aware of.
So what we're going to do, we're going to play the audio, and then Chris and I will comment a little bit afterwards. And so to kick us off with tip number one is Mike Vujovic.
This is Mike Vujovic, Director of Digital Marketing for OSF Healthcare in Illinois. My favorite tip would have to be always remember to bring value to your audience. You first have to know who your audience is, and then always ask yourself, is what I'm doing bringing value to them? If it isn't, you shouldn't be doing that thing.
All right, providing value to your audience. I happen to agree with him wholeheartedly about that, Reed.
Yes, and honestly, probably everybody would, but I don't think we necessarily think about it that way, right? So, we talked a little bit about persona development and things like that in the past, and I think understanding who those people are and knowing what they want And then just simply asking that question will help, because I think a lot of times we get caught up in doing things that we want to do or we've been directed to do, and we haven't asked that simple question. So that's a great reminder.
That is a good reminder, very much so. Now we're going to move on to tip number two. And tip number two comes from our friend Dan Hinman. And let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, Chris and Reed, it's Dan Hinman. I'm community director with the Mayo Clinic Social Media Network. And my top tip for social digital is to really focus on video. We're all hearing a lot about the value of video in digital and social, and I think for good reason. Studies show higher engagement levels with video. We know our minds are drawn to imagery and remember what we see and hear better than what we read. So my advice is take the time to really up your video game. Keep those videos short, but always remember to tell a story. Then when you have a powerful video, you can post it across all your digital and social platforms. I think the better we get at video, the better our messaging will be. There's my top tip. Thanks for all you guys are doing.
Dan makes a great point. It's hard for me anymore to read much of anything. You know, I either listen to audiobooks in the car, podcasts like we're doing, obviously, and then when I'm physically in front of something, I'm probably much more likely, on especially social platforms, to spend time with something that's visual. And so first that would be a picture, obviously, and then, you know, past that, probably give more credence to video.
Yeah, and some other things, maybe some additive areas I would say is, you know, one thing that I've noticed a lot is organizations, they're subtitling their videos, and I think that makes a lot of sense because not always do we have our audio on our device. They say that Facebook brought back the era of the silent movie. I would say that that probably is true, wouldn't you, Reed?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really, I hadn't really thought about that. That's awesome. Very cool, very cool. Thank you, Dan. We appreciate that very much. Tip number three is from Amelia Roberts.
Hello, I'm Amelia of SolutionsByAmelia.com. My digital marketing tip would be to remember that social media is social. It is a communication tool. It's not just something that will allow you to put up your content in front of people who might be interested in hopes of they'll take action. You can definitely use it to reach out to groups of people and offer your value and help them and build trust. And that is an easy way to get to the know, like, trust factor. Online groups are clearly labeled as far as professional interest, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, or Reddit. It's easy to find groups of people who may benefit from your services or might be strategic partners. A lot of people say, hey, I don't feel like I'm being heard in a large LinkedIn group. Well, when you contribute and share to that group, if there's someone in that group that you might want to do direct outreach to, you have been already showing up on their radar, whether they're responding or not. So when you reach out to them and say, perhaps, hey, I would like to have a quick 5-minute chat with you, or hey, I would like to learn more about your project that you posted here or there, when you reach out to them, you will not be a stranger, and they're more likely to say yes to a conversation. So my digital marketing tip would be to remember that social media is a communication tool.
And a social one at that. I think that's a really important thing to reiterate, Reed. You know, I was reading just recently, I think over the weekend, about an article that basically says people don't want to friend brands on social media, but what they want to do is they want to friend or follow or contribute to conversations that are meaningful to them. And they really see that social is a great way to personify your brand.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one thing that I think she was really kind of honing in on there was it's not just a one-way street. So this isn't advertising, right? And so as brands, we like to push things out but not really take the time to cultivate conversations and communities. So thanks again, Amelia. That was a great tip.
Now we're going to move on to our fourth tip, which is submitted to us by our friend Greg Matthews. Let's hear what Greg has to say.
Hi, this is Greg Matthews from M Digital Life, and my number one digital tip for hospital marketers is to really embrace the clinicians who are affiliated with your organization, even if you live in Texas or California, who have a proclivity for communications. Every hospital and health system has dozens, if not hundreds, of nurses and doctors who are already active in public social media channels. And being able to embrace and support the work that they do is your number one way to connect with patients. Because as patients are concerned, there's nobody that they trust or want to connect with more than those healthcare professionals who are actually providing care for them. So my advice is, find those people and do everything that you can to support them. Even if it's not directly on social media, find ways to let them record podcasts or do segments on local news or do columns in a local newspaper. It's the thing that you can do that's going to have the biggest impact on your ability to reach patients in your area.
A great tip, very robust tip. Mm-hmm. But is actually going and finding those people and getting them involved that your folks or, you know, potential patients or consumers would actually want to hear from. And, you know, somebody that's in a clinical role is that person.
Right. It's kind of an extension of what we talked about last week in our podcast. But in this case, he was really indicating, you know, to leverage what they do best and how they're out there already establishing their presence and getting them pulled into the overall experience. So yet last week we talked about getting them involved in your marketing efforts. But this is even more so. It's, you know, reaching out to them and leveraging what they're already doing to help you and build that sort of that dual relationship. I think this is the new era of influencer marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the key piece there is spending time and actually going and finding out who these folks are, you know. And so Greg mentioned that there were, you know, regardless of the system, probably a handful, maybe even up to hundreds within that system that are already doing some of these things. And so some of the best work you can do is spending time to, you know, finding out who those folks are. And like you just said, Chris, pulling them in. All right. And here we are with tip number 5 from Jared Johnson.
Hey, Touchpoint listeners. I'm Jared Johnson, author of Connect the Docs and manager of marketing technology and analytics at Phoenix Children's Hospital. And my top tip for hospital digital marketers is get comfortable with analytics and technology, or be prepared to find a new job. Break down any silos that exist between marketing and IT and develop solutions together that patients actually care about. See yourself as an agent of change. If it goes against the culture to collaborate with IT, create a culture where it's acceptable. You'll usher in the future of healthcare by challenging assumptions about marketing and technology. Be an agent of change in your culture, one way or the other. There's no one more qualified than you.
I love this tip because what it's really saying is that as digital marketing, which is what we love to do, right, what we talk about on this podcast, Reed, mm-hmm. is it involves really a tight collaboration with the people that are your IT people, your ITIS people at your organization, and developing that partnership. But the undercurrent of this is something that he said really right at the beginning, which is, I'm going to paraphrase him because I've been saying this for a number of years now, which is, if you're not good at measuring, don't worry, your successor will be. And what he's really getting at is, you know, that you have to use these tools in a right way to ensure that you're getting the outcomes you're looking for.
Well, and I think, too, just in a very simplistic way, technology has really changed the way marketing happens. You know, so it's gone from what historically was maybe a very creative space to more of a technology or analytical space.
Well, we're moving right along here. We're a quarter of the way through, and our number 6 tip comes from a previous guest of ours, Ahava Liebtag.
Hey, it's Ahava Liebtag. One digital marketing tip that I think really makes a difference is reading your content out loud each and every single time you write it, edit it, and publish it. You'll hear important things like cadence and how it sounds out loud to people as they might be reading it. Go ahead, try it.
So this is probably not like me reading my text message right after I send it and then having to send a correction. Is that what I'm...
That's right.
Is that what I'm understanding? So that's a great tip, honestly. You know, really just reading it out loud is probably very similar to having someone else proof your work, you know. If you're sitting there and going back through it like you did when you wrote it, you're probably going to read what you meant to say and not what you actually said.
Yeah, and it also adds sort of more of that conversational, personalized tone to it as well. If it sounds good when you're reading it out loud, just imagine how people, when they're reading it, I know when I read things, sometimes I hear the words in my head. I'm not sure if that means I'm crazy, right. but I hear the words in my head, and if it really helps to impact a positive tone to the content that you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for somebody that can barely spell their name, this is a really good tip. I'm going to file this one away for sure. For sure. All right. Tip number 7 is from our good friend, Kira Hagen.
Hi, my name is Kira Hagen, and I'm the Senior Vice President of Marketing at Influence Health. It seems like every time I talk to a client, the same goal followed by the same question comes up. This very important goal is learning how to create a personalized experience for each consumer. In fact, market data says some 88% of marketing professionals are considering adding personalization elements into their plans. The question always is, where to begin? Perhaps surprisingly, my answer is to begin at the end, and that's with your call to action or conversion point. Here's why. HubSpot recently ran a survey that inspected the data of 93,000 calls to action over a 12-month period. The data showed that directed or personalized calls to action did 42% better than generic CTAs. The idea is self-explanatory. When brands speak directly to people, it increases relevance. That's the most powerful way to reach your consumers and propel the desired conversions.
I love Kira's tips, and the reason why is because Kira is, she really backs everything up with actually statistics or data, and that really, it helps to draw a compelling story when you're working with organizations or when you're in an organization yourself to kind of have that evidence to back it up. But this is a great point, Reed. What do you feel about personalization?
I think it's exactly what she said, and I will say her tips are very tweetable. You know, everybody likes the statistics, so that's awesome. Yeah, so I think it's funny because it's like, if we know this, why do we not do it? And I think it goes back to her point, which is people are not really sure where to start. And I don't know if I've ever heard it worded that way, but man, what a great idea to kind of start at the end, to start, you know, where do I want to end up? And then kind of back into, well, then how do I get there?
Yeah, the road to personalization is hard, but this is a great approach to starting to tackle that ever important need of ours to be unique to everybody. Great tip, Kira. Well, let's move on to tip number 8, who is submitted by our listener, Jim Samuel.
I'm Jim Samuel. I'm a digital content creator and communication strategist located in the Philadelphia area. My number one tip for any hospital that is partially involved or thinking of entering digital marketing is to embrace and commit to it fully or don't even bother. That doesn't mean you have to start using every digital marketing technique at once. You can introduce digital marketing tools incrementally, but every time you start to use a new tool, be sure to devote the resources needed to do it right. You'll need to hire staff or vendors to create content, videos, or podcasts, and to manage your online advertising campaigns. And you'll need to pay for the tools so they can manage and track everything you do. But don't let this scare you off of digital marketing. In most cases, it's the most effective and efficient way to reach your patients and target audiences. But do go into it knowing that digital marketing takes time, effort, people, and resources if you want to do it right.
Man, that was great. This is funny because that made me the first thing that I went to in my head was our podcast that we recorded live at the forums several months ago. And we got into that conversation with all of our experts there around the table, many of which submitted a tip, which is awesome, about, you know, just the shiny object piece and just buying more technology. So, you know, the first thing that made me think of was like, you know, anytime we have a need, let's buy more technology to fix that particular deficit versus, you know, do we need to resource that differently? You know, is it going to require more people, more budget? Do we need to stop doing other things? And so those are all really good kind of, you know, kind of core tenets or things to think through each time. So
absolutely. I also love how he said, you know, to really commit to it. if you're going to do digital, but what he means, commitment doesn't mean all in, you know, buy everything that's in the technology shelf, right? To be all in. It's, mm-hmm. it's really shifting the way your mindset is, shifting the way you're doing things and approaching it in a very strategic way, as we should be doing or should have been doing with marketing from the onset.
Tip number 9 from our good friend, Ben Dillon.
Hi, I'm Ben Dillon, and I'm the Chief Strategy Officer at Geonetric. My digital marketing tip is you don't know as much as you think. We all want to be seen as experts. We want to be seen as the people with the answers, the go-to when someone has a question. And frankly, a lot of us work for organizations where that is the expectation. If you want to be successful, if you want to move up, you need to be the person who always knows exactly the right answer at any one moment. So that's okay. Go ahead. Cultivate that facade. Make that your personal brand. Just don't go too far down that road of believing your own hype. When we get ourselves into trouble, where we get ourselves into trouble is when we start going with our gut and not doing our background research, not understanding the people we're speaking to, ignoring the data, and frankly, not running experiments or comparisons or scenarios or A/B tests, however you frame those things. Ultimately, that might have been okay in a traditional marketing world where we couldn't measure the things that mattered or couldn't measure them in a time frame that will allow us to actually make adjustments to our campaigns or change direction. But there's no excuse for that in the digital world. Frankly, it's one of the things that I think makes digital so powerful, right? A, you can measure everything. And B, experiments are fast to put together and cheap to execute. So run lots of experiments, constantly be learning from real-world results. And when you do that, I guarantee you're going to deliver more value to your organization.
That's a great tip. That really speaks to, for me, where I went to read was the fact that digital, sometimes we don't know how digital is going to play out. We wish we do. We know that everything online is absolutely measurable, but we really don't know sometimes when we go into market for a variety of reasons that it may or may not work. So having that sort of that nimbleness and the ability to try things out and realize that there is a sort of, I wouldn't say everything you do is experimentation, but there is a factor of error or a factor of adjustment and readjustment needed when you're doing digital.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just having that ability, you're working that into your day-to-day where it doesn't have to be a full-blown campaign and this huge initiative and, you know, include all these things for you to be able to just go out quickly and test things. I think that's probably where I've learned the bulk of, the good, bad, and ugly of what I'd either suggest or don't suggest now is just having the ability or having the flexibility to try some of those things.
Yeah, these are great tips. Well, we're now about halfway through, and I'm going to read the tip number 10, which I said I'm going to read it because this is the one of the only tips that we're going to give that's not audio in nature. Knowing who the submitter is, maybe that's a good thing for editing purposes. Just kidding, Matt. Matt Gov, who's the Chief Consumer Officer at Piedmont Health, submitted a good tip, and I'm going to read it to you. He actually put this on my LinkedIn thread that we had questions about this, and he said, what percentage of your website visitors leave in the first 10 seconds? What percentage of your high-margin patients had a primary care visit with your docs in the 12 months prior? Don't get into the tools until you have a data-informed strategy.
That's a great point. And I think there's a couple of things there in my mind. One is, you know, are you spending enough time in the data? You know, whether that's, you know, web or, you know, Google Analytics type data. So his point around, you know, how many people are leaving in the first 10 seconds, or are you spending enough time with your strategic planning guys in department and your CFO and, you know, some of the service line leads where you're understanding, number one, what are the high margin service lines? And then also how many of your folks have, you know, had a PCP visit within your organization or with your organization within the last 12 months. And so several things he calls out there would require some additional steps for, I think, some people that are not spending a lot of time in that world. All right. We're starting off the second half, the backside, if you will, to use a golf analogy. Although maybe we should have had 18 tips, but anyway, so we have 20 tips. But starting off the back side, before we do, just a special thank you again to Transparently, our first sponsor of the podcast. If you or your organization is interested in being mentioned on one of the podcasts or also having your brand as a part of this, just let us know. You can reach out to Chris or I on any of the aforementioned platforms. All right, so let's jump back in here with tip number 11 from Jessica Levko.
Multidisciplinary, best in care, cutting edge technology. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Hi, my name is Jessica Levko, and I'm a freelance healthcare marketer from Chicago, and I want you to ditch the jargon. Patients are coming to your website because they're sick. In fact, they could be dying, or maybe they're about to give birth. Whatever the case, they're looking at you to help them. And telling them about all your experts, your comprehensive care, or your integrated care model isn't what they want to read about. They want to read copy that speaks directly to them. They want information that's easy to scan and easy to understand. They want to know that when they make an appointment with one of your doctors, they'll be cared for. Remember, you're writing for the 59-year-old guy who just got an AFib diagnosis. You're writing for the new mom who just had twins. You're writing for the woman whose dad is recovering from a heart attack. You're writing for real people. Write them something they'll want to read.
So let's add in some other phrases that maybe we should avoid. Reed, what do you think? World-class care close to home.
I feel like this may be hitting a little too close to home. So,
board-certified physicians. Come on, we can do it.
We can go all day long. We can go all day long. And here's the funny part is no matter which one I said, no one would know who I'm talking about because everyone uses it. Oh, man. Yeah. So, yeah, ditch the jargon. That's good. But here's the flip side of that. I'll play a little bit of devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Not so much that we should or should not ditch the jargon. The problem is if you ditch the jargon, what do you say? So now you're creating more work, right? So somebody's now got to come up with that piece of copy or that piece of content or that headline or what have you. And, you know, to harken back to some of the other things that we were talking about, it's got to be somewhat of a data-driven decision. So anyway, just all things to keep in mind.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'd say, you know, you can lose the jargon but still be relevant. I think that's the important piece here, right? Yep,
absolutely.
But let's get rid of those superfluous words. Speaking of words, let's hear what Dr. Justin Smith, who is our most recent expert, has to give us as a tip.
This is Dr. Smith, medical advisor for digital health at Cook Children's in Fort Worth, Texas. My social media tip would be to do your best to get physicians involved. I know sometimes we can slow up the process. Sometimes we don't quite catch the vision. But if you look around and find those physicians who do get it and you can take the time to get them involved, to teach them ways that they can be involved, whether it's writing content themselves or being involved as a consultant or even just providing a quote here and there, I think you'll find that the value that we provide and the insight that we provide into the messaging that you're trying to get out can be really powerful. So take your time, find some champions, and reach out.
There you go. And if you want more detail on that, you can pick up episode 19 where we talked a little more in depth about that very topic. But get physicians involved. I mean, much like we heard earlier, there's probably from Greg, there's some of those folks out there. So identify who they are and see if you can't get them involved in your marketing department.
Help them see the vision. Help them understand what we're trying to accomplish. Because, you know, physicians, clinicians, your healthcare professionals, they're smart people. Just helping them see what you're trying to accomplish is huge.
And I think, too, don't just focus on them as content creators. So that is a good piece, and that's what Greg mentioned earlier. But, you know, think about them as advisors. I mean, Dr. Smith is an advisor. So yes, he does create content, but he's also, you know, helping them and being a litmus test of sorts, you know, around that clinical side. Now on to lucky number 13, tip number 13 by our friend Justin Rodriguez.
The right kind of volume. Leaderships across the country always want to hear about volume. It is, of course, the key to revenue. But there can be volume that can actually hurt your hospital and marketing success. Certain managed care contracts can actually lead to negative returns, and at times, Medicaid and Medicare can actually help your hospital, depending on the service line, of course. Remember to always check with your managed care and/or finance teams to make sure you're good to go and get in the right kind of volume for your marketing efforts.
Yes, whoa, yes, whoa. Yes.
Boy, now we're getting deep. Now we're getting into managed care and contracts and talking with people that I've never met before in departments I didn't know existed.
But dead on. I mean, this is so important, right? We don't want to drive the wrong people or drive to the wrong parts of our business because, quite honestly, you know, all of the efforts that we're doing, we're trying to, obviously, we're trying to engage with people, but engage with the right people the right way, I think is the point here. So Justin is, that dude is smart.
He's a smart dude. I'm not sure I can keep up a lot of times, but man, that is really interesting. That is really interesting to think about taking it one step further from just the driving volume to driving what kind of volume question. So that's awesome.
All right, let's go to tip number 14 from our good friend, Ed Bennett.
Hi, this is Ed Bennett. Here's my digital marketing tip for the podcast. View your marketing and digital initiatives through the lens of patient experience. Healthcare is slowly but steadily embracing a consumerism model. While most hospitals focus on the clinical experience, that will soon expand to all touch points of the patient journey. As healthcare marketers, everything we do is part of the patient experience. Our ads, web services, social media presence, etc., all of it makes an impression long before they become a real patient. Make it a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I think we touch on this almost every episode, and I think there's probably not... We probably cannot reemphasize this enough, but looking at marketing, not so much as advertising like we historically have, but digital has really opened up that opportunity to move our way into patient experience because of the feedback that we get.
You know, when we talk about experience, it's expanding that idea of how we typically talk about experience and looking at the online space, looking at every way they interact with your organization. That's so critical. It's fundamental, but it's probably one of the most important tips you could take forward.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point. Very, very good point. Tip number 15 from former expert to the podcast, Rob Bergville.
Your hospital or health system org chart doesn't matter to the consumer. Whether we realize it or not, we force it upon them and destroy experiences.
Short but sweet.
So it probably doesn't matter inside your organization either, quite honestly.
So true. So true. We, you know, I'm surprised at how much structure and organization we actually make and service lines and subservice lines and all of this. And really, do people out there really even know, let alone, as he says, care?
Well, and two, I mean, if you think about a couple of these things that are probably, as far as an org chart goes, or even like if you think about service lines and how they're parts of bigger service lines and whatever, there's only a few of those that are really consumer facing. You know, think of something like Sleep Lab, for example. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not anybody's probably primary service line unless you own a sleep center. But that's probably something that people are looking for, sleep apnea and those types of topics. So there's probably lots of things like that that we could do a better job of understanding, you know, who's out there, what are they looking for, and how to make sure that we're surfacing that content and not, you know, drilling it way down into the website or something like that based on where it falls operationally.
Two things to that. First of all, you know, for many consumers, they don't know the difference between an institute, a center of excellence, a center, a program. to them, you know, that those words are kind of nonsensical almost, because there really isn't a consistent definition across the industry. So I think that that is another organizational artifact that we tend to either put up on a pedestal or you know, actually misidentify that as like having some kind of recognition for people in the market. But you just mentioned something that I say a lot too, which is your website is not your org chart. When you're structuring your web content, particularly content that users can kind of navigate through, is not to, you know, build it around your organizational chart. Is you need to build it around what the consumer cares about. You know, going from orthopedic to rehabilitation services, or from rehab to sleep apnea to, you know, weight reduction, to them that's a seamless experience. To us, that may cross four or five departments.
There you go.
So tip number 16, Aaron Fox.
Hi, this is Aaron Fox, CXO for the Matagorda County Hospital District in Texas. My tips were: focus on metrics that matter, get marketing moved to the CFO's domain, clearly define the difference between growth marketing and support marketing efforts so that you can exempt your team from ROI witch hunts, and become an authority in mobile and video.
All right, so first you're going to tell me I got to talk to managed care people. Now you're putting me under the CFO.
Well, he's got a point, though. I love the term ROI witch hunts.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I know where he's coming from. And I think that's an interesting concept. You're probably not going to see it a lot, but I think that's an interesting way to look at things is, you know, taking the guy, the girl that, you know, that numbers matter the most to in a lot of cases and put marketing underneath them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then focus on the metrics that matter for that whatever effort you're trying to do. Like he says, right? There's some patient acquisition where we know what the metrics are. Understand the real metrics, not the vanity metrics, so to speak, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Very important.
Absolutely. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. All right. So, and he's a great one. He shares a lot of great resources on LinkedIn, like a lot of these folks do. So be sure to make note as we're going through this list of everybody that provides a tip and connect with them on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Maybe we will actually put in the show notes as well as post on LinkedIn kind of a directory of everybody that submitted a tip. So it's a good idea.
Good idea.
Okay, and now let's jump over and continue on to tip number 17, Andy Gradle.
Hi, I'm Andy Gradle, the System Director of Digital Marketing for Mainline Health in Philadelphia. Lately, I've been doing a lot of thinking about how many people and organizations, including my own, that continue to focus on macro and vanity metrics that really do little to drive meaningful business. You know, big numbers, they always look good and sound good when you're around the board table, but it's the small pockets of traffic that are likely much more valuable in the end. That's why a big challenge for me over the next year or so is figuring out, you know, how do we shift that thinking and get everyone in the organization focused on optimizing the user experience and improving conversion rates instead of just driving gross traffic that may not actually be helping the bottom line in the end.
So Reed, it's not accidental that we put these two tips together. Very deliberate, in fact, because I think measurement as a digital tip is so various, and we're going to do episodes on this in the future.
Sure.
But I mean, the whole point of, you know, looking at some of those impression metrics, those things sometimes really do not matter. I would argue that that impressions and AVEs and things like that are really just what, as Andy calls them, vanity metrics. I don't think they're meaningful at all.
No, they're not. And I think, you know, just like Aaron said, focus on the metrics that matter. And basically, Andy says the same thing in a little bit of a different way, but in the sense of, you know, there's probably those small pockets, just like he said. And so just because it's a small number, I think this is something we get caught up in, is we're trying to report the biggest number we can find, mm-hmm. right? So that's typically going to be something around volume, you know, impressions, page views, things like that. And those aren't the ones that really do anything for anybody. They look impressive if you put them on a chart and like a trend line and stuff like that, but really start, you know, look and drill all the way in and try to identify, just like, and even what Kira said, you start at the back end of the process and what are we trying to accomplish and what's that going to look like, and then back into those. And it's okay if the numbers are not that big.
what do we say sometimes? Is like not counting the number of people you reach, but reaching the number of people that count.
Oh.
Ooh, that's tweetable. Mm. That's a good tweet right there.
It is.
All right. We're getting near the end here. And I have to give a little intro to tip 18, because tip 18 is actually submitted by two people. We've asked our audiences to submit these tips to us, and the next two gentlemen who submitted here, they actually submitted the tip around the same thing. And rather than get, you know, just run one over the other, we're going to run both. And so the first one is from good friend Steve Leapforth.
Hey, Chris and Reed, this is Steve Leapforth, Vice President of Solution Consulting at HealthGrades. And the one digital tip that I would recommend, and that we're seeing a lot of activity with our clients at HealthGrades, is around chatbots and artificial intelligence. And really, we're having a lot of discussions around two use cases. The first is really leveraging chatbots around your website and leveraging a concierge type service and being able to quickly answer questions for patients and consumers that are coming to your website. The second is more clinically focused. We're seeing a lot of chatbots out there that are able to have conversations with patients and really engage them around condition management and their lifestyle and really be able to have a regular conversation to keep them engaged in their health. So I think, you know, both chatbots and AI are relatively new and definitely not mainstream in healthcare quite yet, but definitely seeing a lot of activity. And I think you're going to see more and more adoption as time goes on. Thanks.
All right. Now, as I mentioned, a second person submitted at almost the same time to us, Shell Holtz, as you know. Let's hear what Shell has to say about the very same topic.
Chris and Reed, thank you so much for the opportunity to share a digital tip. This is Shell Holtz, and my tip is to start using chatbots. The implications for healthcare communications are huge. You know, more and more chatbots these days work in tandem with artificial intelligence, what IBM refers to as augmented intelligence, so they can process questions and queries via natural language, and they can learn based on the questions they've gotten and new data that they're exposed to. Basically, they replace the need for people to search for stuff. They replace the need for people to pick up the phone and dial a number and go through the interactive voice response in order to get an answer to a question. You know, as more people, especially millennials and Gen Zers, gravitate toward messaging apps, and they are doing that, you know, the top four messaging apps are downloaded far more frequently than the top four social networking apps, and that's been going on for a couple of years now. The inclination is among those millennials and Gen Zers to tap out a question and get an answer, rather than going through the search or tapping through layers of links or picking up the phone. You know, some examples, Londoners can use a chatbot to ask if, for instance, the Victoria line is running, then ask when the next bus is. There's a bot called the Heston bot. It's from Michelin-rated chef Heston Blumenthal. It's replete with culinary knowledge and will offer up cooking tips and flavor pairings. Imagine a bot that's dedicated to people suffering from one condition that can offer up specific recommendations and ideas and tips. There's a bot out there that will help you get out of a traffic ticket. You know, what about a bot that can help you with your medical bill? The National Health Service in the UK is using a bot as part of a 6-month pilot program. It's an alternative to calling the non-emergency 111 number. You just type in your symptoms and get a response, what it thinks you might have. There are others like that, HealthTap and YourMD, and of course there are always the disclaimers that this isn't a doctor. But nevertheless, I mean, people are going to the hospital websites and clicking through all kinds of links in order to find out what their symptom is, or WebMD. I think, you know, again, millennials and Gen Zers in particular will be inclined to use a bot. And then there's Florence, which is a personal nurse who reminds you when you're supposed to take your meds. We're going to be using chatbots, and it won't be long before most of them are accessible by voice, not just texting. They're going to play a role in healthcare, for sure. So it's best to familiarize yourself with these now, not when you're the only one in your marketplace who hasn't figured it out yet.
Every time Shell talks, I feel like I've gotten 5 IQ points smarter.
Yeah, sorry, hang on. I was taking notes through that last tip there. Oh, man. Yeah, no, those are both really great, and I think really speak to where a lot of this is headed, you know. And so Where currently we're trying to provide resources and we're relying on folks to find those resources, and we're using things like SEO or SEM to try to get them there. You know, we're going to have things, and we talked, you know, a couple episodes ago about voice first technology, and, you know, here's AI and chatbots and whatnot. And this is all moving very, very quickly. And I think, you know, more than anything, it's, you know, staying current and making sure we understand, you know, what that means.
And reducing the friction, right? Reducing the friction, making it easier for people to find or solve the problems that they want to do. And it's not because millennials are lazy, although it's great that we did get another chance to take a dig at millennials. Because, you know, that's the hidden part of our podcast, is to dig at millennials. No, just kidding. but I mean, I think it's whatever it is to make things easier for people when they're interacting with you and your organization.
So that now brings us to the last two tips of the day, tip 19, tip 20. And that is from your trusty co-host. So for tip 19, my recommendation or my tip is going to be to look for ways to involve your staff. So if you are in a hospital or healthcare system, we've talked about involving physicians and clinical staff, but more importantly, how do you involve everyone within the organization, all your brand advocates? And so you have people that go home every day and they live next door to all these people and they're friends online with all these people. And so how do you empower them to speak highly of your brand? How do you allow them to become brand advocates? And there's lots of ways to do this. There's technology that helps and aids in that. But really spend some time thinking about, you know, how do we market to our employees? I.e., how do we get them motivated to talk about us in a way that we would be proud of? You know, and of course, the main piece there is do a good job. Once you're doing that, once you have a good organization, how do you empower them and make them understand that it's okay that they can post and retweet and share on Facebook or whatever? And how do you empower them to do that?
I love that tip, Reed. I think that makes a lot of sense, right? Whatever we can do to help empower our employees, which are our biggest promoters, the biggest stakeholders of our success, in what we do and how we communicate. I mean, after all, when people have an experience with our health system, they're having experience with all the people that are at that health system, and bringing that forward, I think that makes so much sense. So, all right. Well, I guess I get to end this list, Reed, with tip number 20. And my tip number 20 is, when you're starting down or starting to improve or augment or optimize your digital, remember that digital transformation is actually a change management process. And what I mean by that is that if you're starting to make digital first, you're starting to embrace and look at all of these tools around digital, what you're ultimately doing is you're shaking at the fundamental core culture of how we as hospital marketers, as hospital IT people, you know, as the whole industry has shaped itself around this, and that you have to ensure that your culture allows you to embrace digital. Now, I'll post this in the show notes, but I put a link to an article that talks about corporate culture dictating the success of or failure of digital transformation. And the main point here is that if your organization is ready to endure that change, you can. And I'm going to quote a gentleman by the name of Ian Rogers, who's the chief digital officer of LVMH. And he says, a big moment for an organization is when they have embraced the fact that digital transformation isn't a technical issue, but a cultural change. And culture change is a prerequisite for digital transformation.
Wow. There you go. I mean, I think that pretty well wraps up everything we've talked about today. So, you know, to do this and do it well, the organization has to want to do it, or it's just not going to be successful. So, at least not over the long haul. So, those are great tips. And we, of course, are always looking for other tips, and mm-hmm. we would love to have even more submitted. So, again, if you found this valuable, if you've got a tip based on what you've heard today, or maybe more importantly, didn't hear today, shoot it to us. Get a hold of us online. You can track us on Twitter. LinkedIn is probably the easiest way, and we would love to feature that in a coming episode. And like we mentioned earlier, If you want to continue to hear these in coming episodes, let us know that. And we will continue to, you know, try to figure out how to interlace these in every so often or every episode or whatever the demand is.
Absolutely, Reed. I think that this is a great way to pass the milestone, our 20th milestone. We're going to be back again next week with our 21st episode, which will resume the regularly scheduled program. We'll have our regular features. We'll have the ability for Reed and I to argue. You know, we'll even make recommendations next week. But I think we should leave our 20 tips there for people to maybe go back and give it another listen, take some notes. In our show notes, we're going to link to everybody's LinkedIn. Be sure to follow these experts and keep the tips coming. Anything else we want to add, Reed?
That's all I got.
Well, he's Reed Smith, and I'm Chris Boyer. We're the Touchpoint Podcast, touchpointpodcast.com. See you next week.